Let us open our Bibles today to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we'll be looking at verses 14 through verse 30. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. As we look at these scriptures this morning, I want to divide our thoughts into four divisions. First of all, I want us to see a sad case. A sad case. And second, a faithless generation. And third, the Lord Jesus putting the if in the right place. And then fourth, a very important question for each one of us. So first of all, a sad case. I don't think that anyone, especially any parent, can read this account of this man with his son possessed of a demon and not be moved with compassion. Just reading it, just now, just reading over it again, it calls for our compassion and pity, especially all of us who are parents. We all put ourselves in the place of this man, this father, put ourselves in his position, and realize just how awful this case was. Every parent here this morning, we would spare our children from all hurt and all suffering that they experience in this world if we could, but we can't. I saw a report this past week on the news of a lady who is pregnant, and they were showing the ultrasound, and she said this. She said, I was surprised how quickly I loved that child. I mean, that baby in the womb, she's never really seen it, but she already loves it. And that's just true mothers and fathers, isn't it? We love our children, and as I said, if we could, we would spare them from any hurt, any harm that they might experience in this world. But we can't. We know that. We would, but we can't. In this very sad case, we have a father whose son was possessed with a dumb and a deaf spirit. He couldn't hear, therefore he couldn't talk. Now, we do not know how old the son was. We're not told that. But we are told, the father told the Lord Jesus, that this foul spirit had possessed him from a child. Leads me to believe he's no longer a child. But from a child, this foul spirit had possessed him. He had been deaf and dumb from childhood. You know, there's some diseases, some sicknesses that people used to refer to as childhood sicknesses. Well, this wasn't one of them. This wasn't something he was going to outgrow with years. No, from a child, he had been possessed of this deaf and dumb spirit. It wasn't something any medic, any doctor could help them with. There was no medicine that could cure this young man's problem. This man, this father, I can imagine, he watched his son at times and he was foaming. You know, when a rabid dog, they foam at the mouth. And this man had seen his son foaming at the mouth. Not only that, but he gnashed with his teeth. And the father not only said that about him, but even worse, sometimes under the influence of this spirit, he had cast himself into the fire. Now, in a place like that, of course, all the cooking, I'm sure, was done on a fire, an open fire. And this young man, this boy, sometimes this spirit would cause him just to throw himself into the fire. Fire burn. And not only that, but evidently around a body of water, sometimes it would cause him to throw himself into the water, to destroy himself, to drown himself in the water. The father probably had saved him from the water many times. So what I see here is a very sad case. A very sad case. None of us this morning can doubt that. Now, there are two things I want to point out to us that we should all know about a foul spirit, a demon spirit. There are two things I want to show us this morning from the Word of God that all of us should know about a foul spirit. I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 12. The first thing I want us to see about a foul spirit is some are worse than others. Some foul spirits are worse than others. And you will see this here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now, the first thing to notice here, the unclean spirit was not cast out of this man. The unclean spirit went out of this man. In other words, on his own volition, his own will, this foul spirit decided to leave this man or woman that it had possessed. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he findeth it empty. You see, the demon spirit had gone out of this man. When he comes back, he finds the house is empty. If the Lord Jesus Christ had cast the dumb spirit out of him, and what we refer to as saving him, then now when he comes back, what would he find? He wouldn't find an empty house. He would find a house in which God the Holy Spirit dwelt. But no, this spirit goes out on its own accord, and when he comes back, he finds it empty. He finds it swept. It's all clean. He's turned over a new leaf. He's become very moral. Maybe even very religious because he's garnished the house. He may have hung the Ten Commandments, a plaque of the Ten Commandments up on one wall, and be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another up on another wall. I mean, he's garnished the house, but it's still empty of God the Holy Spirit. And so what does he do? And this is the point I'm making here. What does he do? Well, he says, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, yes, but notice, more wicked. More wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Some evil spirits are worse than others. Isn't that what our Lord says here? He finds seven others that were more wicked to take back with him to live in this man's house or body. The second thing I want us to see is this, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. All lost men, and that includes you. If you're here this morning and you have never been saved by the amazing sovereign grace of God, this includes you. All lost men, natural men, as we are born into this world, have the wicked spirit working in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you, now these are people who have been saved, you find that in chapter 1. And you, something happened to you, God did something for you, and you have he quickened. God did it. Salvation is of the Lord. From A to Z. From first to last. It's by grace, and it's by the God of all grace. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, that is in sins, in trespasses and sins, you walked according to the course of this world. You just went along with the flow. That's what dead fish do. They go along with the stream. There has to be a live fish to swim upstream. But man by nature is dead in trespasses and sins, and so he floats along, he goes along with the course of this world. Now notice, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now that doesn't mean, as some people have thought, that Satan somehow has control over the airwaves. I've read where some people believe that he could produce lightning and hail and all of those things that... No. That's not what this verse is saying at all. When he destroyed some of the flocks of Job by lightning sending fire down out of heaven, he did that by God's permission. Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. Some people act like Satan is as strong as God, as powerful as God, as though they're two forces and they're fighting against each other, And of course, this is where most men come in on this. Here's Satan. He's doing everything he can against God. God's doing everything he can against Satan. And here comes sovereign man rising up in the middle. And he'll make the deciding choice. Cast the deciding vote. Oh, no. No, what this means when we read here, according to the prince of the power of the air, it speaks about a posse. You've seen those old westerns, you know, someone would rob a bank and the sheriff would, let's get up a posse. Instead of one person going after the thief, the criminal, they'd get other men to get on their horses, take off, and got a posse after this guy. Well, this posse are the evil spirits. But there is a prince of the evil spirits, and that is, of course, Beelzebub, Satan, the devil, whichever name you choose to call him by. And all lost men, by nature, have this wicked spirit working in them. According to the prince of the power of the air, notice now, the spirit, he's a spirit, the spirit that now, today, every day, now worketh in the children of disobedience. And who are the children of disobedience? Those who do not bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who do not believe and trust in Him. Children of disobedience. He worked the spirit of disobedience, now worketh in them. Among whom, notice that verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle. That's the way we live. All of us, all men by nature, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. But God. He makes a difference, doesn't he? He's the only one who can. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So first of all, we see here a very sad case. You agree, don't you? You agree, don't you? A very sad case was this father with his child, and very sad case for all men apart from Christ. Sad. And your condition here, if you're without Christ, is sad because you don't care. You don't care. A dead person doesn't care. If we had a corpse here before us today, you could stack every songbook in this building on top of him, on top of that body, wouldn't feel a thing. And the sad thing about lost people is they're lost, but they don't know it. And they don't care. And when they hear the gospel, oh no, I don't believe that. Prophesying to these smooth things. A sad case. The second thing we see here, a faithless generation. The father of this young man tells the Lord that he had brought his son to him, but the Lord, as we saw last week, was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. So he had asked those other disciples, at least nine of them, to cast this demon out of his son. But they could not. They couldn't do it. The Lord Jesus had given them power before. He had sent them out to work miracles. We studied about this in the sixth chapter of Mark. The scripture says he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Why could they not cast this spirit out? Well, how did the Lord answer that question? Oh, faithless generation. You say, well, was he speaking to his disciples or was he speaking to the father of this young man? Both. A faithless generation. Now, this tells me, in fact, in Matthew's account of this, our Lord said, because of your unbelief. When the disciples later came and asked him, why couldn't we cast that demon out? Matthew tells us the Lord said, because of your unbelief. Our Lord said, oh, faithless generation. A generation, not only a wicked generation, but a faithless generation. But this tells me that these sign gifts, and that's what they were sign gifts. Remember Paul later writing to the church at Corinth that truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. There were miraculous gifts given unto the apostles, and some to whom they laid their hands. And they had these gifts, but they were sign gifts. And you read about that in Hebrews chapter 2. And I'll quote that in just a moment. But I want to point out that even these men who had these sign gifts, they had to exercise faith. And I think we see that when we look at Peter's words in Acts chapter 3, when he and John were going up to the temple to pray, and there was a man there laid every day by the gate there, or the door, called Beautiful. And they put him there. It was a good place to beg. And he held out his hands and asked Peter and John to give him something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Now notice, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. These gifts had to be exercised with faith. The reason they could not cast this foul spirit out of this man was because of unbelief. Oh, faithless generation. Now that begs the question, are there men alive today that have these sign gifts, such as healing? Now, when we speak about healing, you know we believe, and the scriptures tell us, all healing comes from God. There's not a person in this room who probably has not been healed at some time. You've had some sickness or another, and who healed you? God did. But there was no man who had the gift of healing to lay his hand on you or to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be ye healed. Now, God uses means. We find that in the Word of God. Doctors and medicine, things like that. Yes, God heals, but there are no men alive today who have the gift of healing. Those gifts were to authenticate, to witness to the truth of the message which they preach, the gospel. And you see that in Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read these verses. You may want to turn, but Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, now watch this, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. When the New Testament, which is all the written word of God, complete, was finished, along with those apostles who passed away, those sign gifts, they passed away. Think about this. When those people on the day of Acts, they spoke in languages. Now, I don't know why the translators use that word tongues, because it certainly, maybe it meant languages. That's what the word means. They spoke in languages. Of all of those gifts, the easiest one to try to imitate is speaking in tongues. And isn't it amazing, my friends, after 2,000 years, there's never been a case, a recorded case, when a person was given a gift to preach the gospel in a language that he had not or she had not learned. Isn't that amazing? And yet people tell us that they still have that gift today. And they latch on to that one verse in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I had the tongue of men and of angels. And they say, oh, well, my tongue is an angelic tongue. Really? Really? An angelic tongue. I went to a meeting one time, and this man, he was giving his testimony of how he was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, languages, and I never will forget it because he was a very naive man being used by these manipulators. He said, well, he said, I did what they told me to do, but he said, I didn't have any language coming out of my mouth. And they told me, well, just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just keep repeating that over and over and over and over again. And he said, before I knew it, I was speaking in tongues. That's foolishness, my friends. That's contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Don't be deceived by these charlatans. If a man today had the gift of healing, you could not get close to that guy. I mean, you could take a Sherman tank and try to drive into his presence, but there would be so many people around his door. If he really had the gift of healing, you could not get close to it. Now, that's just so. That's just so. To have those gifts, one had to have been an apostle of Jesus Christ or have the apostles themselves lay their hands upon them and anoint them. Well, third, let me hurry. The Lord put the if in the right place. He said, that sounds strange. Well, it does sound strange, but look in verse 22, the Father put the if in the wrong place in verse 22. He said unto the Lord, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if, Lord Jesus, if you can do something, please help us. Have mercy. Be compassionate toward us. The Lord Jesus put the if in the right place, didn't he? Now he said, Jesus said unto him, if thou, here's where the if belongs, as we would say today, the man put the ball into the court of the Lord Jesus Christ. You all know, that ball belongs in your court. It's not a question if I have the power. Two blind men followed the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And he entered into a house, and they were crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And when they got in the house, the Lord looked at them, and he asked them, do you believe that I have the power to do this for you? Do you believe that I can open blind eyes? In other words, do you believe who I am? That I am the Son of God? Do you believe that? We believe, according to your faith. And their eyes were opened. The Lord Jesus put the if in the right place, my friend. If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him. Don't ever put the if in before the Lord. There's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing impossible for Him. Let me close with this. A useful question. What is your need today? Now I say, I don't have a need. Well, you must be blind. What is your need today? What is my need today? Whatever it is, whatever my need is, whatever your need is, ask yourself this question. Do I believe that Jesus Christ can meet my need? Do I? Whatever it is, do I believe that Jesus Christ can meet my need? Do I believe that? Or do I believe my need's too great for Him? Or I don't believe He's who He said He was, is. Whatever your need is, ask yourself that question. Do I believe that the Lord Jesus can meet my need? Well, is your need something that He has promised to do? He has promised, all that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's His word. That's His promise. Do you believe He's able to do that? Whatever that need is that you have today, do you believe Jesus Christ can meet that need? It's not great faith. You say, well, my faith is so little. It's not the size of your faith. It's the size of the Savior. This man didn't have great faith. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't have perfect faith. No one in this world has perfect faith. No man, no son of Adam, none of us ever come to that place that the grace of faith has grown to where it's perfect. It's not the size, the amount of our faith. It's the Savior. It's who He is. It's His blood. It's His righteousness. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Well, the Lord charged this spirit to leave this man and to never come again. You see, when the Lord casts out a foul spirit, when He saves a person, He doesn't leave that house vacant, empty. He moves in. His spirit. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Satan may harass you, and no doubt he will. But he can never take control over you again. Not once the Son has set you free. Isn't that what He said? It is. I believe it, don't you? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I want us to sing a hymn before we're dismissed in prayer. Number 453.